Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Friday, April 28th. The month is almost over. We'll be back and it'll be May 1st.
Oh, yes.
There you go. You know, my birthday is coming up.
Oh, when's your birthday?
May 10th.
Well,
May 10th. It's
coming
up.
Hello.
I'm not looking forward to 57, but hey, that's all I got, man.
I thought we were looking forward to it.
I know.
I thought we were doing a thing about we were looking forward to. No.
I know. No, 56 is fine. I'll stay here for a while.
I see. Yeah. I feel you. I understand. There's certain ages that it's different. Like,
is,
I understand, like, even the sound of it is like, oh,
right?
Shit, that's
right?
Old.
Yeah. I know. That's
yeah.
I mean, it did sound like that at 50. You know, people say, no, 50 is not old. I said, look, at any age, when you think 50, it's old.
I don't really think it's old. I think old is more like definitely 70 plus.
Okay.
I really do.
All right.
But
it depends where you're looking from.
It's
it's
a perspective. Yeah.
Right?
Like, what do I know? Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right. I haven't walked in your shoes. Do you know, speaking of that saying, that a woman bought at an auction a pair of Oprah's shoes and then stood in them so she could feel like the greatness of Oprah? And like, when she was nervous about an interview or something the night before, she would like put the shoes on and like practice.
Really?
And then Oprah found out and was like, that's so cool.
Yeah, right?
That's so funny.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just thinking about it makes my back hurt. And actually, I woke up all night. I had this back pain.
Oh.
And I don't know where it's from.
Oh,
but sometimes
I know.
It's just...
you know exactly where it's from. Up. It's anxiety.
Really?
Yes. The number one psychological, physiological issue between is back pain when it comes to anxiety. Well, have you done anything with your back? Have you painted? Have you moved?
I've moved something.
I
mean, look, I pick up my dad sometimes, like pull him up.
Okay,
and stuff,
okay. So maybe that was
and
it.
That does it.
Okay.
You know. So
yeah.
Sometimes I just like, I wake up with this back pain and I'm like, how am I going to function today?
Yeah.
But then you got to do it anyway. You
yeah.
know? And somehow I manage. I forgot to take pain pills what do I take? Like just Advil or something.
Yeah.
They say it's good for the muscles.
Advil's great.
Right?
I've never had an issue with Advil, and I've always thought it's good for... Oh, man, we are a couple old people. We're like, let's talk about Advil.
I know. What the hell, man?
God.
I know. Okay,
all right,
let's
we got to switch gears.
Yeah, we're going to switch. In fact, we're going to have a guest calling in, a matchmaker, if you will. And we always like talking about relationships and how people screw up on their way to better life.
We're in a mood today. I like that.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So you ready for the weekend?
I am. You know, not much going on.
Not much going on, I know. But look, it's been so windy here.
Oh,
is
my
it windy
God.
Where you are, too?
We love the wind, but it is, my eyes won't stop watering. It has gone crazy. It's knocked down power. It's knocked down telephone poles.
How can you love the wind?
I love the wind.
Really?
Love the
what
wind.
What is it about?
There's something very dramatic about wind.
Wow.
I'm just, you know what it is?
What?
I think I feel like I'm on a photo shoot. Because on a photo shoot, they give you the fan.
I see.
The Beyonce fan.
Ah.
So when you're walking, your hair looks better. You feel a little cooler. Somehow you
have
look thinner.
Have you taken pictures like that?
Fan? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay.
It's the best way to feel like, oh, I'm sorry. Did you just walk in? But I'm perfectly like coiffed. If I could, I'd have a fan go wherever I went.
That's funny.
Yeah. Wow. But yeah, I love me some wind.
I just have a lot of respect for the wind because there's so much energy there.
Yeah, and
did
it changes
so much energy.
Oh,
I mean, you can hear it, you can see it. You can
how about when it.
It
charges electricity, like the turbines, wind turbines? That's why I'm always like, I don't get it. When you have wind, why are people against wind?
Right,
it's so easy.
Oh,
it's right there.
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't have jobs.
Energy?
Yeah, I'm like, it's right there. It's like saying you don't like oxygen for breath. I'm like, dude, it's. You don't have to pay for it.
Right, exactly. Solar energy, same thing.
It's sun. You're going to get it all the time. You're just not using it. I don't get it.
Well, they're working towards it. I mean, they're already using it. You know?
I would think they do a lot. There will be a lot more in the future.
Right. They have to.
Speaking of our future, Donald Trump said to Reuters today, and David Axelrod posted this, you guys, and said, this is not an Onion article, and you know it's going to be good when it starts with that. Anyway, he said, I thought this was really going to be a lot easier. He said, I miss my old job. I miss it. It was a lot easier. And I miss, really? I miss driving. I miss being in my, by myself. And I thought this was going to be a lot easier.
Really? Wow.
So it turns out Don's in the dumps, is how Fo says it. Yeah. So I was like, this isn't real. He didn't really say that. But yeah, last night.
Good. Well, maybe it means he's going to leave eventually.
Maybe you're right. But I thought that was so funny. Like, being president is hard. Trump finally
met his match, you know, the presidency of the United States.
But did he really think it'd be easier than, like, being a celebrity, like,
no,
apprentice?
No, everybody told him, what are you doing? Why are you running?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
That's right.
He had a
perfect
life.
Very strange. Very, very, very strange.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, anyway, that was funny. It's in the Reuters thing. And when you, he also, the Reuters article is really funny because if you read it, he passed out to the Reuters, there are three reporters, and he passed out the electoral map of 2016 election against Hillary with all the red and the blue. And he was like, we're the red. See, and he had three copies, and they're like, yeah, we know you won. It was like, he's still like,
wow,
obsessed.
He's still there, huh?
He said he had three copies for them, and he's like, we're the red. And they're like, yeah, we know. So
wow.
Weird. Yeah, so.
So he's still really very concerned with this.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
I think there's some mental issues.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
Oh, well.
Oh, well, moving on.
Yeah, I think our guest is calling.
Yay,
so we're
good
gonna,
segue.
We're going to take her early. I know, what is it? Topic to go from, right? Julia, are you with us this morning?
Yes, I am. Yes. Hi, Sam.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Julia.
Julia Bendis on the phone. Am I saying this correctly? Bendis?
Bendis, that's right. Yes.
There we go. Awesome. Julia, thank you for calling on such a short notice. You calling us from where this morning?
I'm in Orange County, California.
Orange County. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, that's where the rich people go when
that's
they don't
right.
like L.A.
That's right.
Yeah,
I love the O.C. I would go there in a heartbeat.
Yeah, right?
I would just have lunch every day and get manicures every day if I could. I would be a real housewife. That's yeah. what I would be.
Well, it's not L.A. for sure, but we right. still have the same people everywhere.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I actually work with people in L.A. and Orange County and San Diego.
There
so.
You go.
That's awesome. So, and also for those who don't know, Orange County is really the home of Disneyland. We were talking about Disneyland yesterday. So, so there you go. You're in a great part of the country. And thank you for joining us. So we introduced you earlier as a matchmaker. You have a website. Also, people can follow us during the interview, matchbyjulia.com.
That's a good name.
And,
that's right. Thank you.
There you go. So let's find out a little bit about you, Julia. Are you originally from Orange County? Is that where you grew up?
No, well, I'm originally from Russia, which was, well, when it was Soviet Union.
Right. So super different than the OC.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, just a little bit.
Wow.
Just a little bit, yeah. So we came here while it was still communist. It was before the fall of communism in 89. But we came straight to Orange County, so I've been here pretty much since I was 13 years old.
Wow. How did you guys manage to leave there? I mean, they weren't letting people leave, right?
They weren't, but we had relatives here. My mom had a cousin here who basically sponsored us, so to speak, and we were able to come because of him, really. So it was all because of him and his wife, and they took us in, and we lived with them for a while and until we got on our feet. So, yeah, it was crazy. Didn't speak a word of English and starting...
Wow.
From nothing, basically.
Yeah.
Incredible.
So, there you go. And,
yeah.
And I think that's the best way, right? Isn't that like a good motivator when you grow up and you have a tough childhood? Maybe you don't have a lot of money and stuff. Good motivator, no?
No, it sucks.
Okay, but at this point in your life, though, yeah. Right?
I know what you're saying. And with everything going on in the world right now and the whole refugee crisis, and yes, I'm blessed this country allowed us to come and took us in, and we... were able to accomplish what we've accomplished. I mean, because of my parents, what they've done for us, it's incredible for my brother and I. And, you know, because of them and because of this country, I can have my own business and I help people and I give back. And
hallelujah. This is my whole reasoning for open immigration.
Right?
Yes, you're on my side, Julia. I like it.
There you go.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I don't think anybody has a problem with immigration. Well, people do.
Yeah, they do.
But but I think many of the people confuse
our
that
president.
With the problem of illegal immigrants. That's, I think, where a lot of problems are.
It's a charged
And, you know, like when people like Julia came here legally, and then you have all the people that come in here illegally and don't take their number in line, it frustrates people. And I think that's the issue here. But, okay, but but enough politics. We'll go, get back to Julia.
Love. Let's get to love.
Yes, let's get to love in the air.
Yes.
Right.
So Julia's a matchmaker. How did you get into this, Julia?
Well, it's kind of a family thing. I always tell people, you know, this is what Russian Jewish women did in Eastern Europe.
Exactly.
Yentas, right?
Yentas. Where it came from. I mean, it's true. This is where it came from. It originated in Eastern Europe. My grandma did this. My mom did this. Between the two of them, they've had countless weddings and babies born. And I've always done it. You know, even as a little kid, I was always connecting people, bringing people together. And, you know, my first official match was I was in high school, and I remember bringing two people together, and they went out for a long time. It's just something that's in you. You know what I mean? Like, it's something you can't really, no matter what job I've had, and, you know, I went to school to be a social worker, and in a way that's...
You are a social worker.
Right.
You're socially helping, working with people.
But, right, so it's really, you know, the joy you get of two people falling in love and getting married and going on and having babies, you know, if that's what they want. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I started. You know, it was in my blood. And my grandma did this to me as well, although she was horrible with me. She would partner me up with men that were twice my age, my dad's age, when I was in my 20s.
So is that how...
she was good with everyone else.
But not you. Well, there's a different dynamic. Yeah.
So why did she do that? Is that how things were done when she was a kid?
I think so. You were always connecting, you know, and I think, you know, she went through the war... They lived on the outskirts of the city. You know, Jewish people weren't allowed to live in big cities, and everybody knew everybody. So if there was a single gal by the time she was 18 and still not married, then the whole town knew about it.
The whole there was a problem.
So they had to find someone 20 years older than her? Wow.
Well, but they would just start looking for a man for her or for him, a woman for a guy. So it was just what people did. They got involved.
So my ancestors are Russian Jewish women who I think have got to be Yentas.
Yeah.
So I feel a very strong connection with you. very strong.
We'll talk.
That's exactly right. Because I literally came from Russian Jewish Gabby, like, really, they knew everything going on, and I feel like this is what happened.
Right?
So here's my question. Right. What do you look for in a match, or is it a feeling? Is it a chemistry that you're feeling, or is it something that you're like, no, this is a good thing to see between two people?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both of those things. It's definitely a feeling, and you can't really teach someone how to be a matchmaker. I mean, you can try, but at the end of the day, it's just a gut feeling. You just feel it. And at the same time, there's obviously a lot that goes into it, the hobbies and interests, and lately how you feel about politics and where you are on that spectrum. You know,
that's important, right?
Yeah, we were talking about
exactly. In fact, last night I actually had to tell people, sorry, you're not a match. One's a complete liberal and one is a very hardcore Republican. And with what's going on right now, you know, besides the fact that, you know, there's other issues, but there's a lot of both. There's a gut feeling, there's looking at hobbies and interests, your life and what you want in life, and so it's a combination of everything, definitely. I meet with every single person, so I get to see them one-on-one. There's no online dating of any kind.
Mm.
It's me picking out each match. It's me working with every single person one-on-one. It's very traditional.
I like it.
Very.
Very cool.
OG.
So now, so you need to have probably a pool of quite a few people. How do you
get that pool?
Yeah, how do you
fill up that pool?
Well, it's funny because I do approach people on the street, which is not always good. But I always do, and sometimes it turns out well, and other times I don't. People, for whatever reason, they still have this stigma of matchmakers. They don't really quite understand it, and this is what I've been trying to explain to people: is that there's nothing wrong with asking someone for help. It doesn't mean you're desperate. It doesn't mean that you can't find someone on your own. It's because you don't have the time. And this is what I do. I take all the time of searching, looking through online profiles, and I meet with people for you. So you just have to sit back and trust me and kind of enjoy the process and just go and date.
That's true, and right.
And I
think a lot of people would find that it's worth every moment of doing this because, you know, you want it to be a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You don't want to be a serial marrier, you know, so...
Exactly.
You know.
Right.
So it's an important decision, you know. And we were talking also a few days ago about college and all that. So those are some of the biggest decisions that you want to have someone who does this all day, every day, helping you out.
Yeah, I also think it's like when you, Sam, or anyone else that I know that's online dating or even just dating, like I feel like that's asking you to like perform surgery when you don't have no idea what to do.
What the hell?
Like
you're
not a surgeon, so like why should you know what you're doing in a land like a foreign language to everybody? So yeah, I always see the value of someone that knows sort of that's been there before, the experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
knows the whole language.
It's very true. That's exactly right what you just said, especially because online dating is a great tool. And I always say online dating is really been a great thing for people. But you have to have the time. You can't expect to just sign up and the next day have wonderful dates lined up. You have to have the time to look through all the profiles, email with every single person, and then, only then, exchange numbers, especially if you have kids. You have to be careful. You know, sometimes I will run background checks and criminal checks when I feel in my gut, I feel something is not right. Story is not adding up. It just feels like I should look into this person a lot more. And I do, you know, I become a PI. I really go and I start looking up every, you know, now with the internet, you can find anything.
Right.
So unless you have that time to do it yourself, a lot of times this is why people find the complete opposites and the opposite of what they're looking for. And they end up with horrible dates and nightmares. I mean, I'm writing a book just on that.
On nightmares?
You know, the stories I've heard, it's scary. It really is scary. Then you have to be super careful.
You know, and not only that, you know, I got to tell you, Julia, you know, for I find that for women, it's probably taking a long time for each one to evaluate what's going on online. But for men, it's like this. Look, they say, oh, try to be original. Don't just, you know, try to stand out. You figure the woman gets 1,000 emails a day.
You really think someone's getting 1,000 emails a day?
I think some people do. Okay,
oh,
so let's say, yeah, but let's say 50.
Okay, cool.
Okay, let's say 50.
You know, that's fair.
Now, think of it.
That's a lot.
Now, for me, I have to think 50 times if I want to send 50 a day, right? I have to think of 50 different original things. Who the hell's got the time for that or the inclination to do it?
I mean, I would never send 50, ever. That's so hard. I agree. Yeah. I would send like
even
two.
If I had to do, I mean, even if I had to send 5, how can I be original and different on each one of them?
Well, can you just do one?
Because you don't know they're going to answer. So why spend so much time being so creative?
And the more you do, the more chances you have of meeting the right person. Because if you have 50 people contacting you and you only reply to 2, chances are those are not going to be the men you want to meet.
Right.
It's about quantity. Mm-hmm. And it really is about scouring through that whole database and looking for the right person. So, you know, and people lie as well. This is part of the reason why I meet with everyone. You can send me a picture and you look incredible.
Yeah, I've done that.
Right.
I mean, I haven't done it yet. Yeah.
It's incredible. But then I meet with you and I'm thinking, how long ago was this picture taken?
Honestly, either that or it's not their picture. You know, I mean, my pictures have been, you know, at least twice that I know.
Someone's catfishing using Sam's picture.
I know, you know, so I don't know what's going on, but it's terrible. You know, I mean, what's going on? I don't know, but it's scary how people can get to you and all that. But you know, but if you want a safe way to meet someone, definitely matchmaking sounds good to me. And Julia sounds qualified, as qualified as any, you know. I mean, you know, you've been around doing this. How long have you been doing this now, Julia?
Well, I mean, I was doing this my whole life. As a business, officially, it's been over 15 years.
Yeah, I would totally hire you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, she knows what she's talking
about.
Well,
I have great men, so yes, give me a call.
Now, I have to say something. I have been approached on the street by people who are matchmakers, and they ask if they can have, and when I was single, I thought it was a great idea.
Yeah.
You do have to be careful in LA because it could be a reality show that you're signing up for.
Exactly.
You know, that's the only thing.
You never know.
You don't ever know. But yeah, but matchmakers, there's a much more personal vibe to it than I think, you know, they're like the wizards that help you get through all the big forest.
Right.
It's very scary.
Exactly. And you have nothing to lose. That's what I tell people. What do you have to lose?
Yeah.
Exactly. You already spent money and time and online dating, going to bars, going to God knows where. And where's that gotten you? You're still single.
Yeah.
Right.
Why not try this?
Yeah. No, I think definitely if you're focused on finding someone, then get all the tools and all the weapons you can, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, I think a matchmaker is taking out the artillery. You're saying, okay, now I'm really serious about finding someone.
And you're telling the universe, kind of, like, my taxi light is on for a mate.
Right.
Like, I'm very interested in a monogamous long-term relationship.
Right, and there's a third party that
exactly.
can say, you know, I think you guys are a match or are not.
Right,
you know,
exactly. And, yeah. and, you know, at the end of the day, I know what I'm doing, and I know what I'm looking for. And when you're doing online dating and letting your friends set you up, you know, they may not necessarily know everything that you want. With me, you have to be completely honest, completely upfront. You fill out a giant form, and then we sit down and we talk about it. So it's a big process, and we get to the bottom of what you're looking for. And sometimes people think they're looking for one thing, and it turns out that's really not what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because how do they know? They're not good at this.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, just I always tell people, just think of me as your best friend, but with experience and with years of experience. And I look out for your best interest. In fact, I end up becoming friends with most of my clients because we get so close and it's such
true.
A personal thing, such a personal service.
Sounds cool. Okay, so people can find you and everything more about you by going to matchbyjulia.com. And so you cover, I guess, Southern California. It's in Santa Barbara even and Ventura and all that. So
everywhere.
So you travel up the coast, wherever you're needed to help people find love.
Exactly. And I network with matchmakers throughout the country. So if I can't help you, I can always refer you to a reputable matchmaker in the country. So, and I'm on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. It's all the same, Match by Julia, one word. They can connect with me in any way.
That's awesome, you know. And
fantastic.
Then I see you also have a database that people can enroll in and so forth. So
exactly,
you'll find, a lot of information on the website.
And events. We do singles events, and most of the proceeds go to charity. So, you know, come out at least for that, and you'll be helping someone.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow, look, Social Mixer and charity fundraiser.
Hey!
Costumes and cocktails.
You love costumes, Sam.
Yeah, oh, I love costumes.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. But, no, but it's sounds great.
Come join us.
Yeah, definitely.
Anytime.
Okay, and then finally, I wanted to ask you, so what's, do you have any books? Are you writing anything out there? You have a blog, I see, on your website.
I do, and I am finishing up a book on dating, kind of a guide for men, really, because there's really nothing out there for men.
Right.
If you think about who teaches men how to date, you know, most
That's
people
true.
Most mothers don't sit down and have a conversation about how to treat a woman, how to approach a woman, what to do, what not to do. So I'm finishing that up, and then, you know, I have many books that I'm working on, but this is the main one that I would love every man to read.
Wow, sounds good.
I'm
wondering, maybe sometimes we should have you on the show,
yes.
Julia. We'll bring in two people.
Yes.
You can tell us if they're a match.
The dating
or
show.
Yeah,
I love that. You know, they used to do that on the radio.
Of course.
I can't remember the show and actually know someone that met her husband.
Really?
It was a little thing they did. I can't remember which radio star. It was in LA.
They used to do a lot of stuff like that. Every radio station
I
did
love
that
idea.
Yeah. So, yeah, great. Maybe we'll do that. But I know you're not that far, Julia. So next time you're in town, please let us know. We'd love to have you in the studio. We'll have a lot of fun together.
I will, for sure. Thank you so much.
Everybody, Julia Bendis, matchbyjulia.com. Check it out. And we'll talk to you soon, Julia.
Bye,
honey.
Thank
you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I had a dating show I pitched once, and it was called Doggone Days of Dating. Uh-huh. And you would bring your dog, four male, four female women.
Yeah.
Sorry, four women, four men. They'd bring each a dog. And the dogs would not be named, but they'd have a blue or pink collar so you know if it was a male owner or a female owner.
Right.
And whenever the dogs, whoever the dogs picked was who you'd set the people up with. Because I thought, why not?
Right.
The dogs are going to know better than, like, if they get along, then you're going to get along.
Right.
So that's what I thought. But no one liked
it. What if the dogs picked their own sex? Then what?
You know, there's editing, Sam, and there's post-production where we can get shots
so
of them together.
Cut that out.
Yeah, maybe we do it one at a time, two at a time, so they have to.
Yeah,
and we see who enjoys each other the most.
I see.
Hopefully, if they go to humping, you know it's a match.
Yeah,
that's like, there's like a bell that rings if one humps the other. It's like, bing, 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 bing. We've got a match.
I love that.
Isn't that a good idea?
Yeah, I love how dogs can do that, and we can't. You know?
You just want to run up to people.
Yeah. I mean, I always remember that scene from the movie Quest for Fire. I don't know if you've seen it.
No.
It seems like it was back in the 70s, but there was no talking. It was about the caveman.
Oh.
And during that period, and so they would just show the female by the river, like washing her clothes or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
He's walking right behind her and starting to hump her.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's his wife or not, but still, there's no like any
I
talk.
Think you are part Neanderthal. I think you are part Neanderthal.
Thank you very much.
I think you are caveman. You should be on the paleo diet. That's all they eat is caveman stuff.
Yeah.
Me like turkey leg.
I mean, would you want to be in a situation where you just kind of like, if you wanted to screw somebody, you just
no.
walk up to them and they would automatically agree?
No.
Okay, obviously you're not a man.
I know. I was like, I think that's more of a male. I mean, that is probably more of like a visual thing. I'm like, I need to have dinner and drinks and wine and dine. And like,
yeah.
I can't just do that. That would be like so empty and cold. It would be a cold humping.
Right.
It would be a very cold humping.
So you wouldn't have sex for sex's sake. It has to have emotions.
Here's the thing. I don't judge people on one-night stands if they're practicing safe sex and they're not drunk and they're okay with what they're doing. And I do get why you would have that. And in your 20s or when you're, you know, whatever, I don't think that's a problem. But I have a hard time if I'm not connected to the person.
Right.
I like a lot of, like, flirting and like I like the chase and
the
storyline. Yeah,
what?
Like I'm not good with the porn where they're like, "I am the plumber, let me plumb you." I need like a background, like
plumb you.
Yeah, I need like some kind of like he's an office worker, she's the executive. Like, what happens in that? I don't know. I don't get the sex that doesn't. If it's just sex for sex's sake, I feel like it could be very bad sex.
Well, depends for whom, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Many
people do it.
Oh, no.
Enjoy it, right?
I guess so. I guess I would have much more, like, I would try a little much, much, much harder.
Right.
In terms of, like, making sure everything's cool with, like, someone I, like, cared about.
No, I agree. And I always think also the first time is not that great. You don't know each
other.
Right.
You know? You always have to give the first ones, what is it called, a mulligan?
I don't know.
A mulligan is when you give the first one, like, a grace period. You're like,
oh, really?
That doesn't count.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, come on. It's very awkward to put these things together. If you've never done it before, that could be awkward.
That's true.
So it's not fair.
Put these things together.
It's very awkward. It's like Tetris. Sometimes you don't play the greatest game of Tetris the first time around. You know, with the long stick going to the little, you know? So you know what? You know what I loved?
Practice makes it better,
that's
I
right.
think, as far as
And getting closer and being honest with each other. But speaking completely off topic, except for the Tetris part, when I would get my braces done, my orthodontist would give each of us a Game Boy, and we'd play Tetris. And I got to tell you, very good memory for me.
Really?
Easygoing experience because of that Tetris
game.
I really highly recommend if you ever go to the
what
dentist.
What did it do for you?
I guess it takes your brain to a different location. So he's working on your mouth and you just hold it up and he put little like elbow things you could rest on. And you're just trying to really put a square thing in a square hole.
Right.
It's much, much very like relaxing and meditative.
So he's making you focus on something
else.
Yeah.
But it's a very simple game. And I think once you focus on a game or something like that, that's sort of simple and dumb like Candy Crush or whatever that is, it helps you take your mind off. Away from it.
Yeah, that's
I don't know.
True.
That's
that
such
makes
a bad,
sense.
Yeah, my mom plays Candy Crush and stuff when she gets an IV once a week, and yeah. she'll play or watch like Harry Potter
right.
or like dumb movies that she like loves to comfort her to give her like a soothing mechanism.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what Tetris did for me as a young child.
Wow, very interesting. Do people still play it?
I think
still
so.
Popular?
It's a very popular retro right. game, but it's very calming.
Yeah.
It's
wow,
it's,
I gotta try it.
Oh, you
I
would
never played it. I mean, I know
my God,
everything
you would love
about it.
Yeah, you'd love it.
Never really.
It's for
it.
People like you and my husband that are very like good with putting things organizing together. Things together. I am the worst.
Yeah. You see that? I always look at traffic like Tetris. You
so
know?
Yeah, yeah. You'd be like
every
Frogger.
Lane, every
yeah, yeah.
lane always gets full. You right. know, so wherever there's a little hole, there's boxes that go cars that go in there. So it's always like. In a straight, you know, it's everything's aligned. You don't get to go faster on any lane.
Very
you know?
True. Now, I read a book, which you're going to think is the nerdiest thing you've ever heard me say out loud.
I know what you're going to
say.
What
are you going to say? On traffic?
Traffic?
It's on traffic.
Traffic.
And I loved it.
Didn't you love that book?
I loved
about
it.
About how people behave in traffic.
And also
stuff?
How
I've
traffic
read it
starts.
Twice.
I love
right?
It's so funny.
And why you have the traffic jams. Yeah.
And it's so much lane shifting that causes it in the end.
Right. It's always lane shifting
yeah.
because people have to brake and stuff, you know, when they
yeah.
shift lanes.
And it causes such a butterfly effect all the way down
right.
of where that traffic jam is.
And then
jam
if
is.
You notice, sometimes it's like you slow down, you stop, and then it starts to open again.
Yeah.
That's like a spring mechanism, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a spring. It's like contracts and
right.
then it opens.
That happens so, right at the 405. Right after you pass it, it's like bazoonga.
Right, because everybody's changing lanes from one.
And then
every
it gets,
time you get that intersection, that merging
it's
of
so
the
much
freeways.
Lane shifting. I
yeah.
see.
If you notice, it's always around merges of freeways that you get that because people, each one is trying to get to the right to their appropriate lane
yeah.
in order to go.
I think
so.
that's why you think of self-driving cars with such hope because it's just automatically an algorithm of what will be best.
Right.
You save time, you save every, no one's changing lanes at the last minute. There's no grandpa that's like, I'm confused and a kid is yelling at him and you feel bad. Like, it's just done.
Right, exactly. And no wasteful braking.
Yeah, so, that's
know?
Right.
So, but that's interesting because yesterday I saw a show at my parents on the Israeli TV about self-driving cars.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to cabbies and things like that and truck drivers. He says, aren't you concerned, you know, because this is going to replace everybody that makes a living from
yeah.
driving.
Transportation, yeah.
Right. And so some people aren't worried. And some people are realizing, hey, I better offer services that self-driving car
wouldn't
can't
do.
Offer, you know, like the personal service.
Yeah, but
you know,
don't you, can I just say something?
Yeah.
I love that and I get that, but sometimes I don't want a personal service.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
Like, I want to shut the fuck up.
Exactly.
I want to listen
me
to
an
my
Uber without a driver.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Like, kind of that's the dream a little bit is like
right.
plug in where I want to go.
Right.
I can bring my own mints and like water bottle and then I can just like zone out to Dolly Parton and no one has to judge me.
Exactly. Yeah. And besides, I guess you'll always have cars that can drive. You can drive if you like driving. You know?
Right. Now,
you
that's
don't
the
have
other
to get
thing
a
that
car.
Trump said, which is I found really actually kind of interesting. He was like, I used to drive a lot. He's like, people, I
yeah,
used to drive
right?
a lot. He goes, I miss driving. I miss being behind the wheel, which you find a lot of presidents actually say.
Really?
Is that because they
yeah,
no
I
longer.
I love driving too.
Yeah.
I love it.
And you know, you're not even allowed behind a wheel. Like,
right.
It's like forever. So
right,
it's like,
right.
yeah.
Always you have the security in it. You know?
Yeah. And I remember when Michelle Obama did carpool karaoke. She got to be in the front seat, which was like a huge deal because she's always in the limo. And they only got to drive around the White House grounds, like around and around and around. But she was like, this is so cool. I haven't been in the front seat in forever.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. That was very funny.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know. Life is good.
Maybe. Yeah. See?
Yeah.
We went from 57 to 57.
Exactly. So they're talking about like probably by the year 2025. And also I believe the self-driving cars will start with public transportation.
Oh, yeah, like the buses and things.
Right.
Yeah, and I imagine the emissions will be less. I mean, I just can't imagine.
Yeah,
it would
right?
be so much less waste.
Electric cars
yeah.
by then.
But you do have to understand, like, you are getting rid of an enormous job bubble of people.
Of course.
Yeah, I wonder.
Of
that's
course. But this, just like, I mean, it's totally disruptive. Just like Amazon, just like
yeah.
Uber,
yeah.
just like, you know, everybody that changed Netflix,
yeah.
everybody that changed our
true.
Way of life.
Yeah. And true. And just like solar energy will be to the coal miners, you know, that,
right.
but in some ways, I think to myself, do you really, if you're a coal mining family and you are Republican and you're in West Virginia and you're like, I don't want anyone touching my coal, I'm like, but your life, you know, coal mining is like the number number one most dangerous job in the
world.
Like, why do you want that life?
Yeah.
So, like, why wouldn't you want someone who would want reforms or at least changing so you can have a job in solar power? So, you have to adapt. You have to adapt. That's how the whole world works.
Adaptation.
Which was a great movie, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, Meryl Streep. Good movie. Adaptation.
Yeah. What was it about?
Oh, it's got a lot of things. Someone's eaten by a crocodile. Nicolas Cage plays like two parts of himself. It's one of those like very kind of like David Lynch-y movies.
Really?
Yeah. It's great, though. You'd love it.
I'll check it out.
I don't know if you'd love it. It's a little weird.
You know that Twin Peaks is coming out.
Oh, I've seen every episode. You mean the old one? Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah,
I know, me too. So when is this one scheduled? Like June or something?
Yeah,
I think?
Man, that was a weird
show, right?
Show.
I mean, the characters. Just think, how do you create
Diana?
Each
I love the
like
coffee
that?
With the pie. That guy is awesome,
right?
But it was like nothing meant anything.
Yeah,
I watched the whole thing, and I could probably still not tell you who killed Laura Palmer,
right?
Because I was just like interested in the weird character.
Exactly. That is where the story was. Yeah. Because it was pretty much going in circles.
And remember whenever someone would be like, but who did it? Jake? And then it would be like, la, 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 la. There was a weird organ repetitive music cue. They'd play very strongly the Twin Peaks theme.
Oh,
and it came in and it was like oddly organ based and weird. Anyway, they're going to bring that back.
I know all the characters. I remember the log lady. Remember
the log lady. Her log told her things.
Yeah. I mean,
the
weirdest
that was
things.
So, how about the guy who showed up as the apparition in his room and was like, use the guy with the bag on his head. And I'm like, what's happening here?
Yeah, I know. Totally weird. Huh?
Yeah. Well, that's David Lynch for you.
Yeah.
I watched Mulholland Drive, which is a David Lynch movie, and I was just completely confused.
Really?
Yeah. Very, very confused.
I think I've seen it. Have I seen Mulholland Drive? I think I have.
Probably would not understand it.
No, I probably wouldn't. I don't know that I've seen any David Lynch movies, really. It's too weird for me. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I think it's fun, but it's also like, if you like things that wrap up, go see an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? They're different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of movies, are you going to go see The Circle? The Circle sounds good. It's coming out with Tom Hanks and
Emma Watson. Is that right?
Right.
That's right.
And it's about this corporation where she gets hired, and it's a Google-like corporation or Facebook where they have like amounts of huge data on people.
I mean, any Tom Hanks movie I see,
yeah,
no matter what. You're just the big
I'm
friendly giant.
I'm a lot today. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
That guy, Tom Hanks, is this generation. You know what? You know for a fact
he can fit into any part of it.
And he's so likable.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. So Obamas were on a yacht with Oprah, Winfrey, Tom Hanks, and Bruce Springsteen. Okay?
Right.
There was a yacht, a private yacht, and they all hung out. This was last week.
Okay.
And who was it? Stephen Colbert was like, they better not touch that yacht because that is America's like likability quotient right there. Everyone is so likable on that boat. He's just really a great actor, and he picks good roles, and he's just a likable guy.
Yeah, he's a good man too.
He's funny as hell. He's a great director. Smart guy.
Did you see Inferno? The last one?
No, okay. So those I did see it, but it was a free screening.
Okay.
Those are awful.
Yeah? You didn't like that one.
Those Dan Brown movies are awful.
Did you get
awful.
To read the books?
Yeah, I've read them all. And they're awesome beach reads.
Awesome,
but those
them,
are just
right?
awful. Like you can see the phone in his hand and he's phoning it in. Like
that is just
awful.
That's interesting. I know. I mean the
books are great.
The first couple I wasn't impressed with them.
No,
you know?
They're terrible.
It was like the Da Vinci Code was nice because you got to actually see how they envisioned what you were reading.
Right.
You know,
well, the guy Dan Brown wrote them very much like movies.
Right.
If you notice, there's never anyone who sits down for a meal. No one goes to the bathroom in these movies. It's like so from one scene to the other.
Exactly. Shortcut.
Right. So you could see, but they put a bad wig and some bad eyeliner, and Tom Hanks just looks like embarrassed. It's like he bought a lake house in Montana with the money. Like that's what it was for. So that's a movie I wouldn't think necessarily I would put him in his top echelon. But the books were good. I liked the books.
Yeah.
I liked all the books.
So The Circle, I was actually going to start reading it. And then I thought, you know what? At the time, I said I couldn't take a 600-page novel
right
now.
It's a long circle. That's a big circle.
Yeah, exactly. But it sounded right up my alley. Yeah. So this would be interesting. It kind of reminds me of, do you remember the movie Disclosure?
Oh, yes. When, is that with Demi Moore?
Yes, and Michael Douglas.
Yes.
And she was sexually harassing him.
That was crazy.
And that was a Michael Crichton book movie. And
Michael Crichton, may he rest. What a great writer.
Right?
You know, he did ER after Jurassic Park. Does everything.
Right. Wow. And before Jurassic Park, he did a million things.
A million things. And I read Jurassic Park as a book and was like, this is insane. And then I was like, I mean, I just think the brilliance on that guy.
Right.
ER, you'd never know.
Right. And then he had that book about like being in a tiny world. And
he was
a
visionary, that
and,
guy.
Yeah. And the book, Prey, with nanotechnology.
Yeah, he
and
was a visionary.
Like definitely.
He died very early, too.
If you love like high tech books, it's not so much science fiction. It's not in space, let's put
it
that
way. No, it's
not.
It is more science-based, science plus technology, yeah.
Right. Just like Jurassic
Park. But
it's
a great writing.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and he wrote kind of like scripts, screenplays also.
Oh, for sure. It's another sort of Dan Brown situation.
Yeah, but it's fast-paced,
it's
you
so
know,
much,
and that's what it's about.
Exactly.
I think those stories are more like plot focused rather
totally.
Than
and to be honest with you, like Leanne Moriarty, you know, Big Little Lies that everyone was talking about, the murder mystery, the series, that is how she writes. She writes like Michael Crichton, she writes like Dan Brown. It is just scene after scene after scene, and it's fast paced, but it's a beach read. That's what you want. I don't need Tolstoy.
Right?
I don't need discussions in a snowing, like a carriage in a snow. I want to read quickly. Right. So that's why these are good for movies and series like that. You know what I mean?
I know. There's a lot of great stuff to read. It just, you need all the time in the world, you know?
I'm reading a book about David Hockney, and he's a British artist who had synesthesia, and I have synesthesia too, which is where you see colors with letters and numbers.
Wow.
And he paints, if you don't know, the very famous like California pools, like kind of like Andy Warhol-y, very vinyl finished of men in pools in like the bright California sun and bright blues and bright pinks.
Wow.
I'm kind of a pop art, kind of pop artist. And it's fascinating. And I'm like, it was like an expensive art book. And I'm like reading it while listening to ukulele music out like in my back room. And I'm like, I think I'm adulting. I think I'm fucking adulting.
Ukulele. Wow.
Yeah, it's a good reading. But when the wind's going, you feel like you could be in Maui.
Yeah.
If I look a certain direction out my back window, you don't see the alley as much as like a sunset a little bit. And then you play that Hawaiian music
whooshing.
And the trees are whooshing.
Right.
I might be in Hawaii.
Yeah, wow. That's true, right?
Yeah. Yep,
Sometimes I know I'll actually, when there's a breeze, if I lie down outside on the balcony or something, it feels like I'm on the beach or
That's
something.
That's what I'm saying.
You know?
You play yourself some ukulele music, you're right there.
Right.
And my husband and I, we honeymooned in Maui, and we always say, oh, we miss Maui. Maui was nothing but just like relaxation. There wasn't like very interesting things to do. There were. I mean, and we would go to them. We did zip lining. But it's more like really just a vibe of relaxation.
It is.
I feel like I've been on
Kauai a massage. Kauai is even more so.
Yeah, I know.
You know, Maui to me, it's between Kauai and Waikiki.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Which I've done. I've done Waikiki. Now, Kauai is the more like, I'm a jungle maiden and I'm going to travel in the jungle. Yeah. But I'm not a real jungle hiker person.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Maui person.
No, I understand. I mean, I don't hike either, but even if you drive and you see all these, I mean, that's where they filmed Lost and Jurassic Park.
Oh, I know. I was like, speaking of Jurassic Park.
This is like heaven on earth, you know?
Na, 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 na. What my mom calls, that's her ringtone.
Really?
It's a good ringtone. It says, when my dad calls, it's Indiana Jones. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. If you have theme songs, they make the person more enjoyable when you pick up the phone.
That's true. Right? Except I never have a ring. I've always been on vibrate with my phone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I don't want to interrupt anybody. That's why I have my phone on my body at all
times.
I got to
be honest, I don't think I ever put it on the ringtone. But I have it in case it's there.
Yeah.
Which sucks when you lose your phone, which I do all the time, and then you want to hear Indiana Jones, and you just hear like, and you don't know where it is.
Right.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
There's got to be a way to do it like remotely to make your phone
Turn to a ring.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
So here, this is what I heard about on Instagram today that I thought you'd like.
Okay.
Brew Buds. Okay, check this out.
Okay.
It's coffee pods that you can put in your Keurig. But they have up to from 10 to 50 milligrams of THC in them.
Wow.
So you can, and they have a strong sativa. So instead of caffeination, it would be this kind of like up happy beat, upbeat sativa, and you can drink it.
Right.
So they're already out. They're called Brew Buds. I think it's BUDZ. And you can buy it, and the pods are biodegradable. So it's like better for the environment than Keurigs. And you can just have it in the morning. So for any like, I don't know if this is safe, but grandmas with achy joints or anything, they don't want to smoke something
right.
or eat something. This is such a nice way of, like, my aunt has rheumatoid arthritis.
And it probably tastes good.
Yeah, like you could put like your own like latte in it. You know what I mean? And you got yourself some.
That's true. Except, you know, I also, I think at a certain point, well, I guess it wouldn't get that hot, but at a certain heat point, marijuana starts to become active with the THC, so you don't want to like overdo it. But that would be like at 300 degrees, and your drink is like 100.
Yeah, unless you're like scalding yourself with McDonald's.
Yeah,
coffee.
You know. Yeah. So it's not. Yeah.
But yeah, and they do use the whole flower, so it's not supposed to really be like a high. It is, but it's supposed to be more of like a happy, relaxing high and caffeinated morning rather than like, hey, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? You know.
No, I would like that.
So I thought we should try that out, Brew Buds.
Let's try that.
And the other thing that you should know about is Whoopi Goldberg. Is coming out with I think she's already out. Whoopi and Maya is it's called whoopiandmaya.com with cannabis massage oils and lotion, so that if your hands hurt or you have swelling, you can rub it in. It's creams, it's lotion. Yeah. So people, my friend had eczema, and it's working like crazy on the hands where he has eczema.
Oh, they call it topicals. Or
yes,
something,
topicals.
Right?
It's CBD oil, but she makes it where it's like, you know, a nice packaging. And so,
anyway,
if you do have arthritis or back pain, people have been putting it on their pets because there's CBD oil for pets too. If they have like bad backs, so there's all these like different ways of using the cannabis for a better purpose.
Exactly. You don't have to get high,
and
either.
You don't have to get an opiate, which you then become addicted to for the rest of your life.
Yeah,
yeah. So I think that's. Interesting way of
indeed.
Taking it. Yeah.
Indeed interesting. Yeah.
And there's more money and there's more careers opportunities for people and, you know, all natural.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, and while we're talking about marijuana, I guess there's some new studies now that are saying that there's more fatally injured people were tested for drugs than for alcohol. In other words, more people are killing themselves driving under drug influence than under alcohol. And some people are saying this is bullshit and all that stuff, but, you know, they have some new findings. So I don't know what that's about. But and they're saying many of these are like marijuana. So
I think we will hear more about those issues with driving. Yeah. I do.
But, I mean, look, I can see... I mean, when you're there's two different things. You can be a functioning marijuana user and you can be a non-functioning one.
Right.
If you take an edible and you realize, hey, man, I don't know what the fuck's going on around me, don't drive.
Yeah.
Don't drive. It, you know, not just because it's not alcohol doesn't mean you can drive.
Right.
Man.
And it's sort of still in this like new gray phase of like, can you drive when you're high? And obviously you shouldn't. But also like cops, now they're like trying to figure out a way to like, because you know there's a breathalyzer for alcohol. They're trying to do like a test strip where they can like, you put your tongue out and you can tell if the person's been high or something like that.
But you know what? That's why there's a problem with it. And they
I know,
don't
because it's been in your system, right?
Exactly. They don't know how long.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, if you did marijuana like yesterday, it's out of your system. You're not high anymore, but they'll see it in your system. They don't know if you
I know. It's a gray area. I'm telling you. It's very iffy. Right. But Grace and Frankie, I was watching, which is a great show with Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda.
Right.
And Lily Tomlin's just a total pothead, like Buddhist person on the show. And Jane Fonda's like, all right, I'm going to smoke the pot. And so, and they smoked pot in 9 to 5, that movie they were in together from a long time ago.
Yes.
So you see them on the beach smoking pot together and so cute. She's like, I learned some of the pot words. And she's like, it's so cute.
I love that.
Yeah, it's really
cute. It's become so part of the culture.
It really
now,
has.
You know?
Yeah, it really has.
It's like we've gone a full circle. And in the 70s,
I know, it was all
I
open.
Discovered it and everything, you know. It was in the open, although it was pretty illegal. I mean,
Oh, yeah.
I remember I lived in Las Vegas. They said, be careful, because even if they find a seed in your car,
dude,
they're going to stop you.
That they can find like the tiniest people's lives have been ruined over one seed, exactly.
Right.
But see, that's why you think, did the war on drugs actually do anything?
Right, exactly. Right. It hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah.
And marijuana never really left. It just was hidden.
No, yeah, we have a whole generation of black males that have been locked up for a seed.
Right.
That's what we have.
Yeah. But obviously, there's a lot of people with all the legalization going on and stuff. A lot of people are into it. And you know what? It seems like almost everybody smokes these days, at least here in L.A.
I do feel like in L.A. I get that a lot of like...
Right?
Is that right that like... Is that the same thing on the East Coast? And I mean,
I don't know either.
But I know on the East Coast it was a lot. But
right.
And I know in Michigan it was a lot. I just I don't know if that's like in the norm or if that's just because we're in... the industry. I don't know. I don't know.
I think it's on both coasts. Yeah. Usually the coasts are the ones that lead, you know. And now they legalized marijuana or medical marijuana, at least in the East Coast.
And it starts to trickle in through the middle of the country, which is sort of the slowest, I think, to change and adapt a bit.
Right. I'm just asking, when the hell are we going to start our thing here? I mean, we made it legal.
2018.
2018?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we got to wait a little bit.
Yeah. They're all trying to, they have to figure out regulations and all that. But it's going to be interesting. I mean, it's going to be, I go down the street, I told you, and it's just people fully smoking joints.
Right.
But I have it.
The dispensaries are full of
people. Yeah, it's like crazy. it's just a different world.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a different world. But, you know.
Oh, well, we're in 2017, everybody smokes pot.
We'll be smoking pot out of ourselves, driving cars.
We'll all be happy if we all smoke.
And what's our slogan? We'll all turn into robots. That's what we always end on, I feel like. We're turning into robots.
Well, that's it for today, folks. We thank Julia Bendis for calling in. Tori, thank you as always.
Anytime. Have a great, safe weekend, guys.
Yes, and I know there was a couple of people calling in during the interview. Maybe wanted to talk to the matchmaker.
Ooh.
But I did not take the call because I'm true to my show and to my listeners.
That's right.
And I will not distract
an
interview,
Sam,
with a caller.
Very good. Now, listen, you guys, another show went up on Kin Community for toothpaste hacks. So go look at Kin Community. It's on the homepage, kincommunity.com. I show a little cleavage. It's a little much. Some people are calling it immodest on YouTube. I didn't realize.
Especially for toothpaste.
But it's an award show. I'm giving an MVP to toothpaste. That was the whole idea.
But
I will not
get a lot of views.
Yeah, we got a lot of views.
Good.
We're like at 50,000 in terms
of. Whoa, Tori.
Yeah, in like
good,
a couple of views. Yeah, it is good.
Think about it. I mean, it's 50,000 and it's just you in the
show. Oh,
thing.
It's
so
just
people
me.
Are
but
watching
no,
it
well,
for you.
And left breast, right breast. I mean, it's pretty booby.
Right. But it is your show.
No, 100%.
It's not 100%. Like you're sharing credit to someone
Hell
else.
No, and I wrote that, bitch.
Exactly. So
Hell
there you
yeah.
go. I hope you feel good.
Thank you. I do.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you back in May, which is Monday.
Oh, weird.
Take a good one.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.